Now, if you've been with us since last Sunday, we began dealing with that statement in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us." And this morning, we continue to deal with that particular request that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples to pray. And the very first three requests, we have said already that they have to do with God and his glory. And the last three have to do with us and our welfare. Begins with our physical welfare. We are told to ask for our daily bread. And then for our spiritual welfare, we are taught to ask that the Lord will forgive us our sins. And last week, indeed even this morning, I just want to emphasize the point that as far as the Bible is concerned, this is our greatest problem. The greatest plague that has ever befallen all human beings in this world is the problem of sin. And at the same time, the greatest blessing that God in grace has ever given to us is that we can find forgiveness and cleansing for our sin. And what this prayer teaches us this morning is that forgiveness is available to any sinner who is sick of his sin and asks God for pardon and for cleansing. So I want to emphasize to us this morning that this, in fact, is the message of the entire Bible. That although we have sinned against God, and although we have rebelled against his sovereign rule over us, that there is forgiveness available to us, that God in grace has taken the initiative to rescue us from our sins and to have them forgiven because of the provision that he himself has made. This is the message of the entire Bible. And this is something that, if there is something you do not understand in the Bible, perhaps there are many things that you probably find difficult to understand, I hope that you can truly appreciate and understand this, that there is pardon, there is forgiveness from God towards sinful men and women. And there are outstanding examples in the Bible that God has given us to emphasize this point. For instance, that if you begin in the New Testament and you read the story of the Apostle Paul, the way in God's providence that that story is organized and arranged is to emphasize this same point, that God in grace is willing and ready to forgive repenting sinners. That those sinners who, convicted of their own sin, come to God and admit and acknowledge their sin, that they are forgiven. The story of the Apostle Paul is a wonderful reminder of God's goodness to us in that regard. And you very well know the life story of this man. He was a man He was not just against Christians. He hated Christians. And he felt that it was his God-given duty to stamp out Christianity from this world. And he made it his business and his ambition to do just that. And we read in the Acts of the Apostles that while he was busy doing that, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ called him in an audible voice. There was a light that was greater than noonday sunlight. And the Lord Jesus revealed himself to Paul. Paul, he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And you remember this, the answer of the Apostle Paul. Who are you, Lord? And the most unlikely answer that he could have ever received. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And that man, who hated Christians, who thought Jesus Christ was a fraud, who was a blasphemer, who was a persecutor, that man was forgiven by God. And he tells us in 1 Timothy that the reason why he was forgiven is to give us a sample. It is to give us an example of what God can do in the life of any sinner. But God is willing. God is gracious. God is kind. And God, in grace, forgives repenting sinners. Now, that story is not only unique to the New Testament. If you are familiar with the Old Testament, you probably may have come across the story of a man called Manasseh. And once again, the story is absolutely mind-boggling. Manasseh was one of the most wicked men you could ever imagine to have ever walked the face of the earth. He had some of the greatest advantages in his birth. He was born not just in Israel, but in the royal line. And from infancy, he was told the scriptures. And these scriptures were taught to him every day. And yet when he grew up and became king, he literally decided to do everything in his power to stamp out true religion from Israel. And the good news is this. A time came when that man was convicted of his sin and he cried out to God for mercy. And wonder of wonders, God forgave Manasseh. And what I want to tell you this morning is how rich in mercy God is. How wide that mercy of God is, and the extent to which God is willing to go to forgive repenting sinners. So that if you are here this morning, and for whatever reason, you have some lingering doubt as to whether God can forgive your specific sin, I want to assure you, on the authority of God's revelation in the Bible, doubt no more that God has been pleased to give us these examples to convince you, to convince me that he is willing and ready to forgive your sin. It doesn't matter how far you have gone in your sin. It doesn't matter how black your sin is. It doesn't matter that your sin is an Everest of sins. God, his grace is greater than that Mount Everest of your sin. And God is willing and able to pluck that mountain of sin and cleanse you and pardon you and welcome you. The story of the prodigal. That's the heart of God. Here is the man who has gone into the far country. And he has spent all his living on wild living. And now he is down and out. And then he remembers, I have my father. He has slaves. And their lot as slaves in my father's house is so much better than what I am going through. You know what? I'm going to go back. I will go and admit and say, look, I know what I have done. I do not deserve to be called your son anymore. And when he arrives, the father says, I'll hear none of that. Bring the fatted calf, he says. Bring the best robe, he says. Kill the fatted calf, he says. Let us rejoice. That's the heart of God towards sinners. And when the Lord here is teaching us to pray, we must come to that kind of God who is rich in mercy, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he can cleanse you from your sin. That's the God you must come to. He is the God of grace. We sing about the grace of God. Or if you like, we sing about the amazing grace of God. Why is it amazing? It's amazing because we can see what we have done and what we deserve. And then we can see what God in grace gives us instead. This, beloved friends, it is the greatest good news you have ever heard. You will never hear a better message than the fact that there is a gracious and a merciful God. There is a God who is willing to be reconciled to sinners who have rebelled against him, who every single day of their existence on earth, they have been sinning again and again and again against him. And such is his grace that he is still willing and ready to welcome such sinners and to forgive their sin and to embrace them, so that they are no longer slaves. They are part and parcel of the family of God. That is how we can say amazing grace. That is how we can say it. Amazing grace. But the reason why I want you to think about that amazing grace is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ says as he is teaching us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted or who has sinned or who has transgressed against us." And the point that I want to make to you this morning, beloved friends, is that this is a prayer that is being taught to the disciples of the Lord Jesus. In other words, to people who believe and are following the Lord Jesus, like you and me. And what the Lord Jesus Christ here is teaching us, that because God in grace has forgiven our debt, our sin, our transgression, that same grace with which he has worked to forgive our sin, he works that grace in our hearts so that it is possible for us to forgive those who sin against us. Christians are people who have been forgiven by the grace of God. And as a result of that wonderful grace working in their hearts and lives, they are also willing and ready to forgive anybody who sins against them. So that if you're a Christian today, this is something that is true of you. It is that you are a forgiving person. You are a person who is willing to forgive people who step on your toes. If you're a Christian, you are not a person who harbors grudges. A person who is unwilling to forgive other people is not a person who can biblically be called a Christian. A Christian is a person who is in debt, and he has such a great debt that he cannot pay. And he has gone to the king and begged for pardon. And the king in grace has forgiven and pardoned that servant. And then we cannot expect that that particular Christian will go out of the king's chamber, and outside there he finds his fellow servant who owes him $100. And his friend also begs for forgiveness. "Please be patient with me." And he refuses to forgive him. So you see, what we are talking about here has great implications for your own spiritual life. And the point we are making here basically is this: if you're a Christian, it is because God has been gracious to you. And because God has been gracious to you, he has also taught you to learn to forgive people who sin against you. So the question is this, and this is a very important question: do you find it easy to forgive people who sin against you? Or is it virtually impossible for you to forgive others? That when somebody has wronged you, you have a tendency to hold on to that grudge, to hold on to that bitterness, to keep it in your heart, and to mark them and say, "I will not say anything to them, but it's in my heart." My friend, if that's the way you think, you are totally out of order. And I would encourage you this very minute, that you need to turn to God and to ask God to give you grace so that you learn to forgive others, just as God in Christ has forgiven you your debt. Now, if you are a person who finds it difficult to forgive others, there must be reason for that, isn't it? There must be reason for that. For instance, you probably feel really, really offended. How could he, how could she do a thing like that to me? Now, is it also not possible that you are thinking too highly of yourself? And perhaps you are undervaluing God's grace that God has offered to you in Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, I think that we are all sinners. And you know, people say things that make us angry. But because we are sinners, isn't it the case that those things might actually be true? They might say things about you that you're not happy about. But because you're not perfect, because you are a sinner, it could be that those things are true. Perhaps you're not happy that they're saying them, but they could be true. You must learn from the wisdom of John Bunyan, who said, "He who is down need fear no fall." Perhaps you are up here and you resent people pulling you down. If of your own accord you go down there, nobody's going to insult you, because you feel insulted because you have, in your estimation, put yourself very high. The point, nonetheless, is that if you have received the grace of God in your heart, and God has forgiven you and cleansed you, it is possible by the grace of God for you to forgive other people when they have sinned against you. Because when God invades your nature and his grace comes into your life, there is something of the nature of God that comes into you. So you become like God, because the Spirit of God is working in you. And because the Spirit of God is working in you, the word of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount becomes true of you. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Be perfect like your Father who is in heaven. And what does God who is perfect do? He gives his sunshine not only to those who are righteous. He gives it to who? To the wicked. God gives rain not only to the people who are righteous. He gives it even to those who are not. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, be like your Father. He is a forgiving God. This is a fallen world. And chances are that fallen human beings are going to offend you. Prepare your mind for it. And worse than that, chances are that the people who will offend you most are those who are very close to you. They will offend you. They will step on your toes. And if God has been gracious and kind and forgiving to you, that same grace working in you should be extended to your brothers and sisters. Yeah, even non-Christians who offend you. If you're struggling with unforgiveness. You must be relentless in prayer, asking that God would work that forgiveness in your own heart and experience so that you might, with a free heart, extend forgiveness to anybody who sins against you. Now, there are many things that happen in our lives. You know, we don't choose the things that happen. They just happen. They happen by God's appointment, or they happen by God's providence. But because of the fact that we have come face to face with the grace of God in Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are ready to face any challenges that God in His providence brings on our path. And one of those that we are going to constantly be meeting is to be asked to forgive those who sin against us. And according to the word of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not forgive others, what does He say? What's going to happen to you? If you do not forgive others, what's going to happen to you? So you see, God is kind and gracious and merciful, and He will work that grace in your heart and enable you by His grace to be ready, to be willing to reconcile whenever there are problems with your brother and your sister. Be quick. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow into a bitterness that persists for a long time. That is going to bring real spiritual problems in your life. And if you persist in unforgiveness, it basically means one thing: that you do not understand the grace of God in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You do not understand your own plight before a holy and just God. And that is why you persist with an unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving heart, that you glory in making sure that those things remain and fester. And, you know, people of the world talk about sweet revenge. There's nothing like that in being a Christian or a follower of Christ. Leave all vengeance to God. He is the one who will avenge. He says, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Rejoice? No, it says, if he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. Leave all vengeance, leave it to God. See, there is only one antidote for the plague of sin in this world. There's only one antidote. And the antidote against sin is the grace of God. That's all. If you want to use your wrath, all that is going to do that the other person will also be looking for an opportunity to pay you back. And then also, you will also want to go and pay him back the second time. And this is how the world has been fighting wars ever since Adam fell. And by God's grace, we are all encouraged to leave all judgment to God and to forgive anybody who offends against us. And as I've already said, if this is an area in which you struggle, then by all means make it a matter of earnest prayer until God comes through to you and you find that by God's grace you can from the heart genuinely forgive your brother, your sister, or anybody for that matter who sins against you. That is what the Lord's Prayer is teaching us. Forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespass against us. Now, don't put the cart before the horse. The reason why we are able to forgive is because we ourselves, like that particular parable in Matthew that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, we ourselves have been forgiven much. And in comparison to the debt that we owed, the forgiveness that we have received from God, we can extend forgiveness to anyone who offends us. This is why, if you read church history, you will find that Christians were people who, they used to call them, that these people die happy. Why were they saying that people, Christians, die happy? Because Christians did not hold a grudge. They willingly stuck their neck out and say, you know, if this is what it means for you, for me to be a Christian, I must lose my life. I am willing to do just that and leave all judgment to God. You remember Stephen, the man of God. He was a man, the Bible says, full of the Holy Spirit. And they stoned him. While they were stoning him, can you imagine? While they are still stoning him, he finds it in his heart to pray for his persecutors. And he prays that God would not hold this sin against them. He feels pity for them. He is not angry with them. He is sad that they do not understand that this is the only way of salvation. And he begs God, please do not hold this sin against them. And where do you think Stephen got that? He got it from his Lord. Amen. Remember what the Savior did on the cross while they were ready insulting him. And in the process of dying, prays for his persecutors. Do not hold this sin against them, because they do not know what they are doing. Now, I don't want anyone to leave this particular service and think I'm giving the impression that it is easy to forgive. I mean, I know that there are people, especially, have you met people who, you know, perhaps that they have divorced. They have some worse things to say about their former spouses. And you can try and, you know, say, you know, you need to forgive. They'll probably say to you, you really don't understand what that man did or what that woman did to me. These are deeply held feelings of hurt that human beings have. Well, what I'm here to tell you is that here is a very clear example of God sets the condition, and He in grace fulfills the condition in the hearts of His repenting people. This is not something you can do in your own strength or in your own power. You need the grace of God to be able to do this. And that is why I say to you, make it your earnest prayer. If this is an area in which you are struggling, make it your earnest prayer to cry to God daily to enable you from the heart to forgive others. Just like God in grace has forgiven you, that you might be an instrument of extending that grace of God to others. And there'll be times when, for instance, that you felt you had forgiven somebody. There'll be times when, you know, thoughts come flashing back and your feelings are affected towards that person. In that moment, you still need to cry to God for grace. God, grant me grace to, from the heart, forgive so and so, and leave them in the hand of God, because it is God alone who will avenge for you. So the Lord's Prayer is serious business. It's not just some words that we repeat thoughtlessly. These words go very deep as to ask you the question, what is your attitude toward your brother? Do you have a loving, gracious attitude, even those who are unlovely? That's true biblical Christianity. It begins in your heart. It's not just coming to church, not just singing hymns, not just saying I'm reformed. It comes to you. What is your attitude toward those who have offended you? What's attitude there? Do you, from your heart, forgive them? Can you, with all the disciples of all ages, pray this prayer? Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. There's another way to look at this, and with that I will close. You know, the Bible talks about the sixth commandment. And the sixth commandment is that you shall not murder. And you know how the Lord Jesus Christ explained what that means in the gospel in Matthew chapter 5. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the disciples, he says, you know, this one doesn't just mean, you know, physically taking somebody's life. That's not all it means. It means so much more. This command comes and starts looking into your heart. What do you feel towards that individual? What do you think of him? And then he warns them. If you say, you fool, he says, you are in danger of hellfire for calling someone a fool. For you use any term that is degrading to one who is made in the image of God. It's as good as you having emptied an entire magazine into them and shot them. That's what the sixth commandment means. Not just physically killing, in your attitude. And remember, he also did an exposition of the other commandments, says, you shall not commit adultery. And in that case, he was saying, it's not just a question of you physically committing adultery. Look at your heart. Is there lust there? If there is, then you are guilty. And in the same way, look at your heart. Is there unforgiveness in your heart? Well, then you are guilty of breaking that commandment. You shall not commit murder. So this is the only way ordained of God whereby sinners like you and me can receive grace to cleanse our sins and to extend that grace to others. It is through prayer. Make this your prayer. May God grant we not only be hearers of his word, but those who are willing to do the things that he commands us to do. Let's pray.